Well, anyway, we're working our way. While I'm down here, I decided in Luke to look at some occasions when Jesus met people, but rather than looking at the people that Jesus met, looking at the Jesus that people met, meaning that different aspects of the life of Jesus and different aspects of the person of Jesus and different teaching points about who Jesus is emerge from his many encounters with people that are recorded in the gospel. And it's the same Jesus every time, but different teaching points, different emphases come about. And certainly Luke, like all the gospel writers, includes specific events in the life of Jesus for a specific reason. None of the gospel writers are haphazard in the events that they record. John's gospel tells us at the very end, if everything Jesus said and did were written down, John says, I doubt there'd be enough books to keep track of everything that he said and did. So we know that the gospels select particular material, different events in the life of Jesus, and many of the gospels choose the same events. Sometimes each gospel writer chooses events that the others don't choose. And so this week, we're looking at Luke 2, the Jesus that people met. I've given it the title, They Meet a Son Who Knows What He Wants to Be. They meet a son who knows what he wants to be. In this passage, Jesus apparently gets lost. It may well be that in actual fact the parents are a bit lost. It appears that Jesus seemed to know where he was. It's just that his parents didn't know where he was. And it's an unusual account for three reasons. It's told only by Luke, so you'll only find this account in Luke's gospel. Secondly, it's the only story about Jesus as either not as a baby or as a man. It's in between. It's the only story about Jesus as a young person, other than the birth narratives. And later on we'll see, it's the first time in the Gospels that we hear Jesus speak. These are the first words of Jesus in the Gospels, where he speaks as a young 12-year-old person. Stories about Jesus were plentiful, although this is the only story about Jesus after he was born and the events surrounding going down into Egypt and back again. We don't really hear any more until Jesus emerges as a probably 30-year-old man ready to do public ministry. This is the only occasion where Jesus is a child or a teen young person. But there were lots of stories about Jesus circulating at the time the gospel writers wrote their gospels. There was no shortage of stories about Jesus. The difference was that the stories that were circulating were never accepted by Christians who were witnesses to the events of Jesus growing up or his life, and they were not accepted by the early church as being true and accurate and authoritative. One of the well-known gospels, the Gospel of Thomas, circulated not long around about the time the gospels were being written. The Gospel of Thomas emerges from time to time today when news is quiet and journalists will do an expose of a gospel that's been discovered that the church is trying to keep quiet because it reveals things about Jesus that they don't want people to know about, and it's all very shock horror. For 2,000 years, people have known about the Gospel of Thomas, and it just was never accepted. Mary would have shook her head and said that didn't happen, and the early Christians who can attest to the life of Jesus said, no, that's not true. One of the stories in the Gospel of Thomas was Jesus used to like to make mud pies and turn them into doves and breathe into their beaks and let them fly away. Nice story. It's just that everyone said, no, that didn't happen. That's a made-up story. That's fiction. Another one was that Jesus, if he was playing with kids and they upset him, he'd curse them and they'd die. And people at the time said, that's not true. And did anybody ever see that? Do we have any witnesses to that? No. So there were many so-called gospels. But in contrast to that, the gospel writers, and Luke in this occasion, very careful about including only the stories and events about Jesus that are well attested with witnesses to what took place. And on this occasion, Mary and Joseph were well able to tell about this event. And I want to say that what we can say about this event is firstly that Jesus' childhood was normal and a loving upbringing. See, part of the important truth about this event is that Jesus was born as a baby, as a real baby, and he had a real childhood and a real adolescence. He wasn't pretending. He wasn't some kind of ethereal kind of ghost. It flesh and blood baby born to Mary, grew up as a child the way children grow up. He had his first teeth. He lost his first tooth. He learnt how to speak. He eventually learnt how to read. We know he can read because he reads in the gospel and he writes in the gospel. They're recorded. He wrote in the dust. He read in Luke chapter 4. He read the Bible in a synagogue on the Sabbath. And Jesus was a real person and he grew up as a real baby, toddler, child, adolescent. In all respects like us, he was human, except he didn't rebel against God, his heavenly Father. I'd have to say as well, standing at the back of the church this morning as people were coming in, I heard a number of parents talking about their kids being feral this last week, having terrible weeks. I think we know that Jesus, although he was naturally born and human, and he had a normal upbringing and a normal childhood, we can safely say that he probably wasn't feral in the sense that so often we know our children can be. But we see in this passage, he did stretch his parents, didn't he? They did have a story to tell about Jesus. What I'm saying is he had a normal childhood and a loving upbringing. That's partly an argument from silence, but also because there is nothing to record. There is nothing for Luke to write down and talk about. Mary stored up a whole... Any mother would have lots of things to say about her child as he grew. And she had other children as well. She had her stories, but they were not remarkable stories of Jesus as a young child, you know, in the bath, and Mary saying, "Jesus, stop standing on the water, get in the water." There was not those kind of stories about Jesus. He was a normal person in that sense. Mary had her happy memories. But this is an account that Mary and Joseph talk about, and Luke is recording it because it's a very informative passage for our learning. Joseph is mentioned here. He plays his role. He dies at some point later, but even at the age of 12, Joseph is the father to Jesus, the earthly father to Jesus. Mary and Joseph together, a couple. They raise him, and they did family stuff together. Coming up every year to the Jerusalem for the Passover would have been a festival of joy and celebration and happiness, and it would have been a holiday. They came up every year, they had fun, and from a small Nazareth to a big city would have been very exciting. Well, we're told that as they headed home at the end of the Passover festival, Jesus is in the midst of the crowd, so his parents think. It's an indication that he was a responsible young man, that his parents weren't worried that they hadn't seen him all day. I mean, if he was a troublemaker, if he was a scoundrel, would not his parents be keeping a close eye on him? He was a happy, healthy, responsible 12-year-old. And at 12, if he hadn't already, he probably was going through his bar mitzvah where he took on the covenant promises of Abraham for himself. And they had confidence in him. That's why they didn't keep a close watch on him. That's why at the end of the day they couldn't find him, because up until then they had no concerns. He probably, they thought, was looking after his brothers and sisters who were younger than him. So I think this points to Jesus having a normal, loving, human upbringing. Secondly, his youth, his upbringing was shaped by a godly family. Let me read to you very quickly some of the verses that Luke gives us in chapter 2. On the eighth day, this is his birth, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, just as the angel had said he should be. Verse 22, when the time came for the purification rites for Mary required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord, just as it is written, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. In verse 39, Joseph and Mary, when they had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Verse 41, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, Jesus went up to the festival according to the custom. They went every year, and when he was 12, just according to custom, he went with them as well. What we've got here is Luke is telling us that Mary and Joseph lived a godly, Jewish, faithful life. They followed the law and the customs of God's people as given them to them by God. They lived as godly Jews. They kept all the festivals, and that meant they would have tithed. Joseph, running his own building business, he would have tithed his income. He gave the offerings that were meant to be given at the right time. And it's underscored that every year they went up. The family would have, because we know he's a godly man, Joseph, he would have made sure that all his children were taught the basic passages of the Bible they needed to know, the Old Testament about the Passover and who they were as God's people. He would have kept all the food laws, and they would have gone up every year as they did. So at age 12, Jesus is a young man who's been brought up in the faith of Israel. He would have been told, I'm sure, by Mary about the events of his birth. He would have learned for himself the prophecies in the Old Testament. He would have gone to Sabbath school and learnt to read and probably to write. He can recite vast slabs of the Bible, of the Old Testament. And we're told in verse 52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He wasn't pretending to be a godly guy. He was. He grew up in an understanding of who he was in relationship to his heavenly Father. And thirdly, Jesus' adulthood was characterized by a growing thirst for God. He'd gone up every year, but this year something's different. In his age and his growth, he's magnetically drawn to the temple. He wants to be where God is symbolically present amongst his people in Israel. He wants to be in the hustle and the bustle of the faith life of faith of Israel. And he stays. His family get up, and when they go off, he goes to the temple. They go and head home. They're amazed. The Jewish leaders and the servants in the temple are amazed by the questions he's asking. He has a real thirst and hunger to know more. And they're amazed by the answers he gives. When they couldn't find him, and they eventually search for him, and they find him in the temple, Mary. Over 2,000 years, nothing has changed. Her parents say, "We have been anxious for you. Why have you done this to us?" Jesus says, "Well, why were you searching? Why wouldn't you come here straight away? Why were you searching? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" They didn't understand what he was saying to them. There's a play here going on. Jesus, they're saying, "We didn't know where you were." He's saying, "Why wouldn't you have assumed I'd be here?" It's a learning experience for them as parents that Jesus, as a young, now independent young man, he is being drawn in his trust in his Heavenly Father to want to be in his Father's house. And there's a play on fathers of Joseph, the human father, earthly father, and God, his Heavenly Father. So they had to learn that Jesus had changed and grown, but also I believe that Jesus, at this moment in his growth, understood in verse 51 that he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to his earthly parents. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. Why has Luke included this story in the account of the gospel? Is it just an interesting story? Is it a chuckle story where his parents were chuckling about the day that Jesus got lost? Theophilus is the patron that Luke is writing his gospel for. At the time that Luke is assembling the gospel material, Jesus is dead. He'd been crucified, he has risen, he's been resurrected, and he's ascended. A lot of the stories floating around about Jesus was that he was a revolutionary and a troublemaker. And people don't get crucified by the Romans unless there's, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Luke wants to assure Theophilus and others as well, Jesus was not some kind of errant child who grew up to be an unmanageable teenager and was on a trajectory towards getting into trouble sooner or later. He was a godly young boy. He grew up into being a godly and faithful and obedient young man. And then when his ministry emerged, when he was 30-something or other, he had a long history of a thirst for God, for truth and for righteousness. And it could be seen even when he was 12, the direction in which his life was travelling. In other words, fourthly, Jesus' life and death was defined by the incarnation. He came into our world as a man and he grew in knowledge and godliness about God in the way that we do as well. He grew through understanding God's word. He grew through being a part of God's community. And he slowly came to an understanding of who he was and what God had planned for him. Paul writes in Philippians 2, he had the very nature of God, but he didn't count equality with God something to be hung on to and refusing to let go. He made himself nothing. He took the nature of a servant. He became human. He being found as a human and as a man, he humbled himself and was obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's why Luke wants us to know about this story. He wants us to know that Jesus didn't come into this world as a baby thinking, "I'm the Son of God, the eternal creator God, but for the moment I have to say goo goo ga ga just to fool people into thinking that I'm really a human being." He was born as a baby. He emptied himself. He had at 12 the knowledge of a 12-year-old, although a very well-informed and godly 12-year-old. He grew in faith and in stature and in the regard of people because he trusted in his Heavenly Father. And then there came the day where Jesus was prepared to even lay down his life for us because he had lived a godly life and had not ever rebelled against his heavenly Father. Three, I think, in conclusion, learning points for us. Jesus is in the temple, found there because he wants to be close to the Lord. In the day in which Jesus lived, the temple was a physical, symbolic place where God was centered in the life of Israel. For us today, by God's Holy Spirit, if we've put our trust in Jesus Christ, we've been born again, we have a living hope, we have a lasting inheritance, we have God's Spirit within us. There is no earthly place where God is specially present. If by faith we've trusted in Jesus, he is with us personally. But the question is, are we someone as a Christian who wants to grow like Jesus in our knowledge and experience of God? It strikes me that being a Christian means that we start out by faith putting who we know ourselves to be into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ as much as we're able to know him and understand who he is in our life and in our world. But we don't rest there. We want to grow in our knowledge and understanding. We want to know ourselves better, and the more we know about ourselves, we want to commit that to Christ and to his lordship in our life. I have to say that my experience will be, I'm sure, the same as yours, that in the life of faith, that as I have got older, I have still learnt things about myself that I have to put under the lordship of Jesus. And there are things that I've thought I had put under the lordship of Jesus that I have to keep redoing that because of my sinful human nature. The Christian life is a journey of faith, committing what we know about ourselves to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our understanding and knowledge of him grows and changes as well. Secondly, a learning point, Jesus says, I have to be in my Father's house. He's saying this so that Theophilus and others who read the gospel can be informed and make a decision. And the question for all of us today is, yes, yet again, who do we think Jesus is? What decision have we made? What decision will we make? And thirdly and finally, even at this early age, Jesus felt a deep and abiding love of his Father in heaven. He wanted to love him and know him more dearly. It's the paradoxical reality of our faith. In loving God, we become true disciples of Jesus. And this story today is an affirmation to us that Jesus, our Master and our Lord, set the example for us. We will always fail. We will never be perfect. Yet our Lord Jesus Christ is our champion. He knows what our life is like, and he knows the challenge that we have. Let's end our time in prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, please fill our hearts with love for our Heavenly Father. May we love him with a love that's so real and profound that we are able to say to God, your will be done in our life. Father, let your will be done by us in some way today towards others, so that we will share the love and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our friendship and relationships with others. And finally, instill in us a love that's so great that we are prepared to share our good news with others freely and compassionately. We desire with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength that we will one day dwell in your house forever. And in the meantime, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.